Praise the Lord.
Father, I just speak blessings over Israel, Lord. I pray for the salvation of the Jewish people, Lord. I pray that you send a mighty, fiery revival to Israel, Lord God. Wake them up, wake them up, wake them up, Lord. Wake them up and let that revival, the fires fall in Israel, Father. And Lord, I pray for the Prime Minister, Lord. I pray for his salvation, Lord. Remove that veil from his eyes. Let him see clearly that you are his Messiah, Lord. Lord, I just pray protection around him and his family, Lord, and around all of Israel, Lord. I pray today for the peace of Jerusalem, Lord, that it would remain an undivided city. And Father, I pray for Apple of Your Eye Ministries, Lord, that you move mightily in those prayer warriors, Lord, and those watchmen on the walls, Father. Give them encouragement today, Lord. Move in their finances, Lord. And for the Laquette Ministries, Lord God, continue to give them the necessary means to feed the poor and the needy in Israel, Father. And we just thank you and bless your holy name, Lord, in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't clap. Well, praise the Lord. What's the newest podium right now? What's the newest lectern? No, I'm telling you. See, they all used to be all wood, only they were this big. You couldn't move them because they were attached, and the pastor wasn't allowed to get from behind there, or you couldn't hear him because they had a mounted microphone. Y'all remember those days? They were oak, man. They were heavy. Then they got a little smaller so you could move them around. Then they turned into plexiglass. Remember them? Clear ones, woo, with the church logo on the front. Then they turned into like metal, like what do you call it? Tubing, metal tubing to make it look more industrial. I just wondered, I haven't been in a church lately. I wondered, well, I've been in a church, but y'all just, do I take him serious? Well, you can take me serious from now on, okay? I'm just playing. Y'all should build me one, though, that's modern, I think. Y'all did build a modern one time, but it fell apart. Y'all remember that? It was Bob Mallory built, I mean, it was big old thick, this sucker was, it probably weighed 70, 80 pounds. It was, that stuff's heavy, that plexiglass. And who was preaching? We had a special, who was it? We had a special speaker, and you know, he was a pretty heavy hitter, so I don't even know if we was in this building, was we? And he's like, he started preaching and boom, the top came off and it fell apart, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is great. So just be sure it's heavy duty. When you build it, make it real industrial here, but make it light. Because I don't like moving them big, heavy things around. Y'all okay? Praise the Lord. Well, go to John 14:6, and y'all know it probably by memory. Anybody remember what we talked about last week at all? If you didn't get to hear it, you can listen to it on the World Wide Web. Agape love, very good. We talked about the love of God and how powerful it is. And I'm not going to go back and redo that, but John 3:16, let's all say it together. For God... Very good. It was a little fragmented, but I didn't help. Now I want you to say it again, and I want you to say, for God so loved, and I want you to put your first, middle, and last name in there. And say the rest. If you're ashamed of your middle name, you don't have to put it in there. For God so loved Mark Stephen Avery that he gave his only begotten son, so that if Mark Stephen Avery would just believe on him and trust in him and adhere to his teachings, he would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's pretty cool. So this may not be in the correct order, but I was thinking about love and truth, and I just wrote this down. Truth leads to love. It took the Word of God for me to believe that Jesus loved me so much that He laid down His life for me, right? This wasn't just a revelation that came to me. Now, God does come to people in dreams, and people get saved from dreams. There's been Hindus, there's been Muslims that have had a dream of Jesus coming to them, and they've actually repented and got saved through a dream because nobody was there to give them the gospel. So God does do that. But in America, we've all got access to the Word of God. So when I started reading the Word of God, I started believing that I was loved, believing that He was so good that He loved me in spite of who I was and how bad I was, you know. So love came through truth. It took truth for me to be convinced of His love. Did y'all preaching or something? Did y'all get converted by a dream, or was it through the Word of God or somebody speaking the Word of God? If it was through the Word of God or speaking the Word of God, hold your hand up. Some of y'all didn't get saved yet, right? Through the Word of God, love came, right? I know y'all did. Truth leads to love. Love leads to obedience. Obedience leads to Holy Spirit and power. Now this, I'm not pulling this out of the Bible. This isn't scripture and verse. It's just something the Lord showed me. Obedience leads to Holy Spirit and power. Dunamis power leads to works. And faith works through love. Does that make sense? You know, you can pray for somebody, and you can pray for the sick, and you can have a wrong motive. Did you know that? You can pray for the sick just because you want to see God move, and you want to see the Holy Spirit do something incredible. Is that true? Faith works through love. Jesus said He was moved by compassion for the lost. He wanted to go off and do a retreat. He wanted to go up on the mountain and get away from these crowds because He was wore out. How many of y'all ever been wore out with work? You've been wore out with life. You've even been wore out with ministry. That's why there's more heart attacks in pastors than any other profession on the planet. And I forget how many a day quit just drop out of the ministry because there's so much pressure. Now, I don't feel a lot of pressure, but I don't allow it. But the thing is when you've got four people sick, you've got people here, you got people there, you got people backsliding, and you feel like they're your flock, they are your flock. And when you feel that, if there wasn't any pressure or feeling there, you wouldn't have much love for the flock, would you? So, but I'm not saying that it's a pressure thing. It is not at all. It's a wonderful thing. It's a glorious thing. So I am so thankful that God has allowed me to do this. But if you don't have the love and the presence of God and the anointing of God and the peace of God in your life, you can easily have a heart attack or fall out or just become dull, right? It's the same way, y'all are ministers, right? Every one of y'all's got a family. You're the pastor over your family. If you've got children, you're growing up to be pastors. So pastor means what? Shepherd, leader. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, who was He talking to? Y'all remember? Thomas? Jesus said to him, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. That's a good verse to remember if you ever got somebody saying there's many ways to God. Jesus said there's only one way. He was very specific about that. There is only one way to the Father God, and that's through me. And who was it? Who wrote all the books, the real Narnia and C.S. Lewis? C.S. Lewis said Jesus was either a liar or a lunatic. He said he was a liar if he said, I'm the only way to God, and he wasn't. He said he was a lunatic if he died on a cross for something that wasn't true, or he was Lord. He was who he said he was. And to die on the cross, to do something incredible like that, you've got to know the truth, don't you? And what makes it even more powerful than that is all of his disciples died a horrible death too, except for John. Well, he was on a prison island, so God just had a little bit more for him to write, didn't he? Revelations. John 14:12. If you love me, Jesus speaking, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. 14:21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. So if you love Jesus, and again, he didn't put it like, if you love me. He didn't say it like that. He said, if you love me, then you will do the things that please me, right? Is that true? Those of y'all that are married, if you love your mate, you're not going to be a whipping post, but if you love your mate, you're going to do things that please them, right? You're going to fix a nice dinner because you love. You're going to work all day and bring in paycheck or whatever because you love. You don't do it because I got to do it, because if you had to do it these days, you'd just get a divorce, right? It's not about that. It's about love. And God magnifies it like a billion times over that, okay? He had no reason to die for you, brother. He had no reason to die for you, no reason to die for any of us except love. Is that true? He loved you. He loved Susan so much. And he saw her sitting here and he said, "Woo, yes, I'm going to the cross for you." Every one of you. Think about that. Grab some joy out of that. So, how do you know what pleases God? This is elementary stuff, man. This is just like kindergarten. But sometimes we get so far off in the deeper things of God that we don't remember the beginning, do we? It's easy, isn't it? Oh, I've got this prophecy. I've got this. And I'm working on this. And the anointing's here and the anointing's there. And I've got this anointing and blah, 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 blah. And it's all good. But if you forget where you started, if you forget the basics, you're like a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. The love has departed, and it's become a works ministry. You can get, listen, Pentecostal, Spirit-filled people, you can get caught up in works. And I'm not talking about working out your salvation. I'm talking about if I do this, and if I do this, then God does this. If I do this, the Holy Spirit's got to do this. And I know none of us would say it like that, but it gets to be a job instead of a joy. You know, serving God never was meant to be a job. Never, never. God wants you to have joy in your work, praise God. He wants you at the end of the day to go, It's good serving you, Lord. It's good serving you, Lord. It's good to know I can go to sleep tonight with a peaceful heart. It's good I can go to sleep tonight knowing, man, how many, y'all didn't see, I grew up in a, we went to church every week. And my mom and dad didn't pray much out loud. Well, in fact, I can't ever remember them praying out loud at home. But they did, they were born again, okay? They just, it was just different then. People were more subdued or something. But I remember when I was a little boy, I'd think about God sometimes. Did y'all ever remember what you thought about God, what he looked like to you? What did God look like to y'all when you were, did y'all ever have a picture of what God looked like or who God looked like? Did, about you, Nine, I bet you had the real picture, didn't you? What did he look like to you? What was your representation of God? Looked like a dad to you. And that's something you didn't really have a good picture of, right? Wow. You know, it could be a dad, but I remember we had the church we went to. My mom was a, I think my mom was a Presbyterian and my dad was a Baptist when they got married, so they ended up in a, wait a minute, something. They ended up in a Presbyterian church for a while. And the first pastor I can remember, his name was Brother Carpenter, and he was a young man. He had a receding hairline, and he was white, real white, because he never got out in the sun probably or nothing. And his hands were softer than Sarah's. No, don't look at me like that. It was just because he was a man. He didn't work. He worked, but yeah. You know what I mean. He didn't work, labor work, okay? But I, you know, and he had this black robe on and a white shirt and a tie and all that. And that was my, I looked at it, I thought, that's what, and I think about God, I think that's what God looks like, you know. But, you know, it's, that's not wrong, but when you look at God, when you think of God, it's usually something good, like a good father or a good pastor or, you know, something like that. But he is good. And how many of y'all know he speaks to you every day? If you're born again, he speaks to you every day, Nina. He speaks to you every day, Justin. He speaks to you every day, Mike. Probably a lot more times than you hear him. Would you say that's true? How many times do we blow off what God tells us as coincidence, my own thoughts, my own feelings? Have y'all ever done that? You want to grow into prophetic? Step out. Does that make sense? Step out. But what if I'm wrong? Oh, but what if you're right? You know? I'm just saying you've got to step out. Samuel, when God shows you something, you got to know you hear from God. There's no age limit on that. Zoe, you got to know when you hear from God, it's God. Sometimes it's my own mind. Sometimes it is your own mind. Sometimes your own thoughts do get in it. But if your heart is to obey, then God is going to bless that, isn't he? Will he bless that? This young lady had some unbelievable dreams, prophetic dreams. I've got them somewhere. And they were at a time when we were fixing to go through all hell in this church. And she gave them to me. And I knew she heard from God, but I didn't take time to put it together that this was a warning, a specific warning with specific faces on it. Anyway, I'd like to read you something. I knew about this. It's been missing for years. And then the lost books of Mark, I found one. This was a prophecy given to me. I was back in the woods. It wasn't a dream. I don't like to say it was a vision, but it was, yeah, it was. It was a gray, cloudy day. It was a winter day. You could tell it was just bleak, and everything was in black and white, you know, and I don't know if you know what the feeling of that is, but it was in black and white. And it was like we were in our old farmhouse. That's where it was at because we still lived there at the time. But the rooms were a little larger, and a seminar or retreat or training session was going on. Donna was involved, and I walked outside, and there was two other people involved, and I'm pretty sure it was Mike and Jenny. There was a strange atmosphere, and there was a dense fog, but it was clear up to 100 feet. But when you got up to 100 feet, it was just dense, dark fog. I heard this loud roaring and droning sound quickly approaching from the west. That would be that way. And it sounded like a passenger plane, only larger, much larger than normal. And it came closer. It cut through the clouds, but by the sound, I could sense that something was terribly wrong. I could clearly see it was approaching the big hill in New Albany, and as it did, it started dipping, nose high, nose low. It was going like this. It was wobbling. I knew it was in trouble, and I started yelling, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus," as it went over the hill and out of sight. A few seconds later, I heard a loud explosion, and flames shot up well above the peak of the New Albany Hill, probably thousands of feet. We turned on the TV, and they didn't go to the scene. They only interrupted the program to say there would be details on the news. Someone in our group said that the plane had hit the Sheraton Hotel, and I felt there was probably hundreds, even thousands dead in Louisville. And I put Holy Spirit interpret. This prophecy, this happened on February 24th, 2011. That happened March, April, May. When was 9/11? September. I believe it was definitely a pre-warning of what was getting ready to occur. Of course, there was no Sheraton in Louisville, but there is now. Isn't there one in Jeff? So I don't know fully what that means, but I believe God gives out warnings. And there was probably thousands and thousands of people that got dreams or visions or something about that, but probably maybe didn't know what to do with it. And that's why it's really cool to have that Elijah list, because you can look on there and prophets will have things posted that they see coming. So know that you hear from God, Sarah. You get prophetic dreams and visions, do you? You write them down? You ever share them with anybody, or you keep them to yourself? Anybody else? You get prophetic dreams a lot. Justin? Glenna? You get prophetic dreams or visions or both? Praise the Lord. Don't take them lightly. Don't take them lightly, because God does nothing without warning his servants, the prophets. If you look all through the Word of God, he always warns that something dangerous is coming. He always warns us. And the only reason I read that to you was so that you would know that you should take very seriously what the Lord is showing you, because we live in times when if you don't hear from the Lord, you're not going to know what the next step's going to be. You're not going to know which way to go, which way not to go. God is going to warn us. God is going to walk us right through the minefield. Just say this, and this is everybody, not just the ones who raised your head. Just say this: I hear from the Lord. I do hear from the Lord. I hear from the Lord. Sometimes I hear through others. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Just say this. I pray in Jesus' name. I will hear from you clearly, Holy Spirit, through dreams, visions, scripture. God, I'll hear clearly from you today, even now, in Jesus' name. Lord, I just pray for everyone here right now that they would clearly hear. They would clearly see a face right now. They would clearly see a person they know in Jesus' name. You would see them clearly. You see them? Hold your hand up when you see them. You see a face. Okay, you've got one. Keep your hand up. When you see a face, when you see a person, you've got one. Come on, keep praying until you get a person. You get a face. God's showing you somebody he's concerned about. Okay, two more, three more, four more, five more, six. Come on, come on. Push in. God, I want to hear. You want to show me something. That's putting God in a box. No, it's putting God in a box to not expect to hear from God. In Jesus' name, God, show us somebody you're concerned about, somebody that's in danger, somebody that needs you, somebody that needs deliverance right now, in Jesus' name. Everybody that heard, hold your hand up. You heard from God. You saw a face. And if you didn't, there's no condemnation there at all. Okay? Here's what I want you to do. Pull your phone out. Go on, pull your phone out. I'm giving you permission. Turn it on. Now, text that person what you feel God wanted to show them. Then turn it off because we can't have conversations going. But really, I'm serious. Take a step of faith and just send them a text. And I believe you're going to see God. I believe God has spoken to you. And if you didn't, there's no condemnation. Because I didn't. Okay? All right, praise the Lord. That's called a prophetic text. I just made that word up. Prophetic text. That'll work. Prophetic Facebook messages are the strongest kind. That's what Paul and him used. You know how many friends Paul had? Thousand. Colossians chapter 2. I just want to teach you for a minute out of this, and then if you need prayer for anything, God's going to work some miracles in your life today. Congratulations this morning for cutting through the muck and the mire and the things that tried to keep you out of the house of God this morning. Congratulations. You won. So let's gird ourselves up right now and walk in triumph. Colossians 2:13. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he is made alive together with him, having forgiven you what? All your trespasses. You can tell, you can really tell when Laura's not here, because she can always finish my sentences and she can always tell you what verse. No, really, I mean, she's there, right? She knows the word good. Seven, in verse 14, having wiped out, what's wiped out mean to you? Cancel, erase, washed. If you're a surfer, what's it mean? Wipe out. Whoa, wipe out. You could play that, brother. I know you could. Do it on the back of your chair real quick. Come on. If you're not too... Oh, man, I would like to get a mic on that because you got it. Now, what's this got to do with Jesus? Who knows? The safaris might have been, yeah.
We can do that for over and over.
Used to, if you couldn't do that on your school desk, you wasn't nothing. I couldn't do it too well, but wipe it. And then... Wipe out! Yeah. Anyway, y'all are all right. It wasn't talking about surfing, but it talks about what I looked in the Strong's and it said whitewash something to cover over something. It's like if you got graffiti on a overpass or something, they send them in there with this special paint that covers it up, and a week later, somebody else has defaced it, right? So, being dead in your trespasses, being what? Dead. I looked up that word, too. It's interesting. Nekros. like necrophilia, like a real dead corpse. And it also refers to spiritually dead in your trespasses. So when you're walking in sin, when you're not forgiven of sin, you are dead. And you're walking in uncircumcised flesh. He has made you alive with him, having forgiven all your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. It says in Revelations that the books were opened. You know, there's books. You've got volumes in your life, Susan. You've got volumes in your life. And you know what? My book, all my books up to the time I was like almost 30 years old have been erased. All the evil, all the sin are erased. But people that don't come to Jesus, guess what? There's books. Everything you've ever done, everything you've ever thought, everything when you were tempted to do wrong and didn't, everything is written down in the book. And the Bible says the dead were judged according to their works. Have you ever asked anybody if they died right now, would you go to heaven or hell? Have you ever asked anybody that? Come on, that's a good witnessing tool. How many of y'all have ever actually asked somebody that question? What is the most common answer? I think I would go to heaven. And then you go, well, why? Well, I'm a pretty good person. And I'm sure better than Landon. So, yeah, I think I would get into heaven. I'm just playing with you, man. But you know what I'm saying? Most people would like to compare themselves to Sarah. I might be bad, but there's a lot of people that are a lot worse than I am. You know what? That don't cut nothing, does it? You know what that means? That means you're just a little better than Sarah. But Sarah's washed in the blood, so it don't matter how bad she screws up. She's washed in the blood, right? It's got nothing to do with comparing your life to Sarah, comparing your life to Fred. Fred's a good man. He's an awesome man. He works hard for his family. He works hard for the money, honey. But God loves him because he's got the blood of Jesus on his life. That's the only reason that he's going to heaven. Does that make sense? You ought to try that sometime. I go to church. Here's a big one around this area. I got water baptized when I was 11 years old. So you got wet for a few minutes. What else can you tell me about your life? You know, a lot of people have got religion. That's what's going to get me into the gates, the pearly gates. Why do they call them pearly gates? It's in the Bible, isn't it? They're big old pearls. Right, Nana? So he's wiped out the handwriting. He's wiped out the books. That was against us. He has taken it out of the way and he nailed it on the what? He nailed it to the cross. He disarmed principalities. What's a principality? Come on, warriors, spiritual warriors, what's a principality? There's probably one over every city in this nation. There's some kind of principality, which means what, Nina? What would you say principality is? A satanic ruler over an area or a region. Come on, man. Y'all have got the Holy Ghost. Y'all that are born again. Y'all ever been in a car and drove through towns and you could feel, it's like you could feel poverty or you could feel perversion or you could feel something, or you could feel goodness, you could feel life and light. Have you ever done that? That's what's going to happen in Greenville. People are going to drive through there. They're going to feel the goodness of God. They're going to feel the presence of God. When they drive by this church, they're going to feel drawn to turn in here because they're going to feel the anointing and the power and the presence that you guys have brought here. Amen? Am I making any sense today? Y'all get anything out of this? He nailed it to the cross. Disarmed rulers over regions. Demonic rulers over regions and powers. He made a public spectacle of them. How did he make a public spectacle? Yeah! He went to the cross and he did it publicly, didn't he? In fact, most people will tell you they figure Jesus was nude. He had no clothes on. The Son of Man, embarrassed, stripped down to nothing, nailed to the cross, spit on, cursed, called a phony, right? And every bad thing that could be said. And the people that were saying it the most were religious. So they went, whoa, this guy must have really been bad. I've never seen a guy on a cross before that the church brought down so hard, right? And he did. He made a public spectacle. But when he died and he was laid in that tomb, he lay there for what? 3 days. What did it say? No sign shall be given you but as the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he was in the belly of the whale for 3 days. What do you think? He just laid there, Sarah? Did he just lay there in a tomb for 3 days? Is that what y'all think he did? He just rested for 3 days and then, Is that what happened? No. When he died on the cross, he said it is finished. And then he went into hell itself and he grabbed the keys to the kingdom. He grabbed the keys to death and hell, and he brought them out. And that's the only reason you're sitting here today, not because he died on the cross, but because he took the keys to the kingdom, and he brought them out. And anybody that believes his resurrection, and anybody that believes his sacrifice, you hold the keys. I'm not making you God. I'm just telling you who you are. If Jesus lives in you, Susan, you hold the keys. Death and hell and depression have no part in you anymore, in Jesus' name. Drugs have no part in you anymore, in Jesus' name. Alcohol has no part in you, in Jesus' name. Anything that controls your life has no part in you anymore. Only the part you give it. Satan can only take as much as you will give him, Si. Is that true, Nina? And he will take every bit you can give him. And here's one of these really, really cruddy church signs. If you've seen it at your old church, well, just slap me. But it said, how did they put it? I don't want to get it wrong. If you give Satan an inch, he'll be your ruler. Y'all don't even get it, do you? Rulers 12, yeah. Okay. That's a good saying, though. Ruler 12, yeah. Give him 1 inch. That's what I did when I went by it, you know. Okay, here's another one. This is lighting things up a little bit. Another church sign. C-H, blank, blank, C-H. What's missing? You are. Get it? Give me a good one, sir. I know you got a good one in mind, because you used to live in a church like that.
I saw one once that said, 'twas not the apple, but the pear.
See, you know, see, the thing about these church signs, they're kind of funny, but heathens are going, what? What are you talking about? I don't have a clue. You know, her daddy had a church, and I don't even know if he was in charge of putting the signs up. Probably not. They got a book of sayings, I guess. But anyway, she said, Dad, let me put something up. And she put up, this was after revival, and God was just raw. She put up, are the things you're living for worth Jesus dying for? People got torqued, didn't they? Because that was not nice. That was a pretty prophetic thing. That was not a nice thought. All right, I'll hurry up. How long have I been up here? Somebody gypped my podcast out of 20 minutes a couple weeks ago. I was so mad, but I got over it. Wasn't you either. It was you. Was it me? Me, Lord? Was it me? Yes. No, Lord, I would never gyp your podcast, Lord. Philippians 3, verse 1. This is good stuff. I'm trying to build y'all up right now in the most holy faith. He says, finally, verse 1. Finally, what's that mean? Like, I've said all this stuff, and I'm going to wrap it up. Is that correct, English teacher? See, I'm messing with everybody today. Is that correct? Finally, I can finally finish this thought, right? Finally, my brethren, that'd be all of us, sister and brethren, rejoice in the Lord. He's been going through this whole chapter. He says, finally, I'm telling you this, rejoice in the Lord. Did you yawn at me? I saw that. Rejoice in the Lord. What's that mean? Don't worry. Be happy. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Rejoice.
Oh, I can't go that high.
Rejoice. And again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice.
I wanted a real high one there. Rejoice! Ain't no Mariah Carey. Honestly, couldn't tell you a song she did. Rejoice in the Lord, for me to write the same things to you is not tedious. Give me a definition for tedious. It's not tiresome. It's not wearisome. For me to write the same things to you is not wearisome, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. And actually, there was a group of people that they would beat themselves. They would actually take knives and castrate themselves to please the Lord. They would do all these works. He said, beware of people like that. We are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have how much confidence in the flesh? Have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I'm more so. In other words, he was a Pharisee. He did all the things that God showed him to do. He kept all the laws. He kept all the Jewish dietary laws. He did all that. I think there was 400 Jewish laws that were outside the Bible that they made up, like, which dish to eat out of, which dish not to eat out of, just tons of rules and regulations. Verse 7, what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish, which means dung, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. And get this right here in 12. Not that I have attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold for me. And boy, this is all good. I would just finish that chapter if I was you. But he said, I press on. Another place he says, I press on for the high mark of the calling of God and through Christ Jesus. I press on. I press on. I press on. What's press mean to you, Susan? Press on. Keep pushing. No matter what the circumstances, you keep pushing. No matter how tired you are, you keep pushing. You keep pushing until you get to the finish line, right? When you get to the finish line, you're going to hear this voice that says, well done, you good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. But press was something else. When he talked a lot about athletes, he talked a lot about soldiers, he talked a lot about farmers, and he used these little comparisons. But he was probably talking about an Olympic. They had Olympics then, didn't they? The Greeks did. They had some kind of. But anyway, the press is. I don't know if you've ever watched a sprint. Usually, it's in a sprint race, but it doesn't have to be. But there's a string across there. There's a line across there. And when you break that, the first one to break through, that's the winner, right? And the press is when you're running up there and you're neck and neck and you push your chest out to break that line. You press to break that line. You press to win that race. And that's, how many of y'all ever been in a physical race? And you really wanted to win, didn't you? You put everything you had into that, right? Or basketball or any kind of sport. You put everything, or like Jamie. I don't know if you can really dig this, but Jamie had a hard time taking a test and bringing, you know, nervousness or whatever apprehension would keep him from being able to bring the answers up. So this... Your guys' prayers, you don't realize this is a miracle because three people didn't make it. You go, well, they wouldn't flunk you and send you home without a job. Oh, yeah, they would. And when you know that in the back of your mind, so thank you. Your prayers were powerful and mighty. And when I text you these things, I really, really appreciate it when y'all do it because I know that y'all are prayer warriors. I know that God hears your prayers and answers your prayers. And if you've got a prayer request, let me know and I will try to get it out to these warriors. But you press on. You press on. And it's not about feelings. It's not about feelings. Because I might wake up tomorrow morning and feel so far away from Jesus. You go, no, that couldn't. Oh, yeah, that could happen. It's like, you're praying to a brass heaven. Have y'all ever felt like your prayers are just bouncing right back at you? But they're not. They are doing incredible and mighty and wonderful things in the name of Jesus. And God has chosen you, Brittany, for a time such as this. Did you know that? Did you know you have great giftings in you? That you prophetically hear from the Lord regular? And sometimes it even torments you because you don't want to believe that could be true. Is that true? Don't allow that to happen. I'm telling you what. I've seen people have prophetic giftings on them and they run away from it because it scares them. But God wants to use that. He wants to use you. He wants you. He wants to be able to open your mouth up to where you could just boldly, like y'all texted a minute ago. That was pretty unintimidating. Now, when you get out of here and look at the answer, you might go, "Ooh, I'm anxious to see what God's going to do." But don't back off from the giftings He's given you. The very things that make you uncomfortable are probably going to be the things that God's going to be strongest in you. Does that make sense? The things you feel uncomfortable with lots of times are the very strongest gifts that God has put in you. You feel uncomfortable with some of your gifts sometimes? Well, in Jesus' name. Okay, y'all asked, pretty much you asked somebody on your text. I like that sound. Yeah. You pretty much asked somebody on a text. Can anybody share with me what they texted? Don't have to tell me to who. Can anybody share what they texted? I'm just curious what God was showing y'all. Don't have to tell me who it was to. Yes. Dad and I love you, and we're proud of you, and God loves you. Wow. Anybody else have something they want to share? They just text it out. I'm just curious. Anybody feels free to do that? Oh, yes. Wow. Favorite redhead in Indiana. Wow. And Samuel, when God shows you something, He does show you something about people sometimes, don't He? When you speak it, what you fear the most, more than often than not, they're going to embrace it with love, and they're going to go, wow. They're going to go, God really knows me. God, and that's the thing about a prophetic gift. God really knows me. He knows what's going on in my heart. He knows what's going on in my life. He knows where I'm tortured, and nobody else knows. And sometimes people just need to hear that word of life, and it's in you. The word of life is in you. It's around you. And God is just, He's knocking on that door, not to get in, but to get out. It's like, let me out, let me out. I got something wonderful I want to share with people. So, in Jesus' name, y'all stand up. I'd love it if y'all would come up and get prayer for anything. Does anybody need a miracle today? Before we do this, somebody give me their definition of a miracle. Doing what man can't. Anybody else got one? Definition of a miracle. Come on, somebody's got one. That was good. Anybody else got something they want to say? What? Something happened unexpectedly. You had a car wreck and you were near death. And God, I didn't know that. Were you crying out to God? Wow. When did this happen? Say that again.
The people prayed for me when I had a car wreck. I was near death. I died in the helicopter. They flew me to UofL. And I died twice in the helicopter.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're so glad God delivered you from that. That was a miracle, wasn't it?
The doctor came out and told my husband, he said, all we can do is pray for her now, you know. So.
Wow. Even
I was in a coma for like 3 months, so.
3 months, you were in a coma.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know that. That is incredible. No more incredible than your miracle. Somebody else tell me a miracle that happened to you. I'll tell one if y'all won't. You tired of hearing me? Give me a miracle.
I've got a whole bunch of miracles. Just but one. The first one.
Your biggest one.
Okay. Well, they're all big. My daughter was on a liver transplant list. They couldn't find a liver for her, and she went into a coma and was getting ready to die. We prayed, and Jesus gave her a brand new liver with no liver transplant.
Yeah, there was a liver transplant, but it was God.
Me coming to the Lord.
Yes, praise the Lord. That's just as good as, that's better than anything. Come on, you got a miracle.
Cindy.
Yes, Cindy was a miracle. If y'all don't know, Cindy was in a coma for weeks. Weeks.
About a year ago, a lot of things had happened and changed my life. But one thing in particular was pretty neat. I actually stored it in my phone, and the date February 19th just kept coming up, and I'm like, so I just put it on my phone at 8 o'clock in the morning, this is the day. And my biggest issue has been my back, and everybody knows it for a long time. Well, that was the day I had my surgery, a year later, that day.
No kidding.
Yeah, it popped up that morning, said, today's the day.
He gave you that day. Wow, that is awesome. Susan, you got a miracle? No, wait. Put it right there.
Oh, no. Put me on the spot.
We got to.
Miracle.
Turn this way so you don't have to look at
him. It's okay. My miracle is that I'm here.
Yes.
Yeah. Miracle that God saved me, and he's restoring my relationships. He's restoring me back to sanity. He has restored me back to sanity. And the miracle is that I'm with my son, and I can be a mother to him today.
Praise the Lord.
That's a miracle.
Praise the Lord. No, and I never said this, but we met Susan out at KCIW, praise God, and you are like a first fruits because we've been going out there for years and years and years, and you are maybe the second one that's ever come and worshiped with us. So we are just so thankful for you. We love you so much.
Thank you,
God, for sending her. Anybody else, you got a miracle? This is building faith is what it's doing, man. For when we ask for another miracle here, you'll be ready to receive it, knowing that God wants to give you one.
My car wreck?
Yes.
Almost 11 years ago?
Yes. I remember that.
Head on.
Head on at 60 miles an hour and on Highway 60, right? If we got an R6 in there, I'd be scared.
I have had 4 miscarriages, and Pastor Mark prayed over me and Mary prayed over me. And I prayed as well for God to just show me, like, what has made me have miscarriages. And I went to the doctor, and he said that he's never seen something like this before, and he finally found out what was wrong with me. And so he gave me medicine and shots or whatever, and I'm actually pregnant right now. So
yeah!
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Somebody else? Yes.
It was a long time ago, but I was on a mission trip to Africa, and we came up on a little girl who they were surrounded by people around her, and she,
in fear and screaming,
yeah,
and crying.
She had been bit by a cobra, and she was dying, and you could see her heart just pounding in her chest, and her eyes had glazed over, and I was with my team leader, and he preached the gospel and through the interpreter, and then he prayed, and he said, Kristen, you need to pray. And I just was so mad at the devil, and I reached down, and I just put my arms around, and I started praying. And within a couple minutes, she sat up and started looking down at her leg, and her heart had calmed down, and they ended up taking her to the hospital, but she lived. And
praise
so that was the biggest thing.
And you know, if I'm not mistaken, a cobra bite's about 5 minutes. Maybe 10. You don't make it to the hospital, especially in Africa. You'd be better off if you didn't. Somebody else got a miracle? Yes.
I was
a long time ago, I got a hernia, but it didn't bother me so bad. It was just kind of annoying, and I had Logan Smith pray for me, and it disappeared. Well, then a couple years later, it came back, and I was going to have surgery. I went to the doctor, and he said, you have to have it right now. You know, you need to go to this specialist. And so I went to him, and he said, this is how much surgery is going to cost. And I was like, God, no, I can't. I don't have insurance. You know, I can't do that. And I prayed, and everybody at church prayed, and it completely disappeared. Never has come back, and that was years ago.
So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I had to hire somebody to do this.
When my sister was born, she had a hole in her heart, a heart murmur, and I don't know what else, and they told her she wouldn't live to be 9 years old. And long story, but this woman showed up at our doorstep, and she said God sent her there and prayed for my sister. She was just like maybe five. And she told Mom one morning, she said, Mom said, are you scared of the surgery? They had to take her heart completely out. And she's like, no. And Mom's like, how come? She said, because Jesus came in my room and told me it'd be okay. And Mom said, did you have a dream? She said, no. He sat down in a chair by my bed and told me everything's going to be okay. And she just had her birthday yesterday, and she's been healthier than anybody. She's supposed to have her heart checked every 2 years. She never did. So God, when they took her heart out of her, they couldn't find anything wrong with it and put it back in.
Praise the Lord. How old is she, 30?
How old am I? 62. She's 62.
62. Wow. Yeah. Praise the Lord.
This young man's father was in the hospital, and he had a heart attack, and he was in very bad shape. They had the room full of equipment. His, he couldn't talk. He couldn't breathe without machines. His heart wouldn't function without machines. And so slowly we prayed each machine away, and every machine came out of that room. And then the final thing was the thing that was making him breathe, because he couldn't talk. It came out, and he was good. And he was able to say final words to his children. And he did pass away a few days later, but, you know, that was a great miracle.
Praise the Lord. And I'll tell you another great miracle about your dad. Got to talk to him, and he had questions about Jesus. He'd grown up in church. He didn't know about all that, but at Cracker Barrel in Sillersburg, he surrendered his life to Jesus, and that was many years before all that happened. But God is a... He's very concerned about our lives and our salvation. And, Lord, miracles are so good. And like you say, God saved you. That's, of course, we always say that's the biggest miracle of all. But the world doesn't look at it like that, because they just think you've went a little brain dead. The world doesn't understand that new birth, do they? But they understand when y'all tell something like you've been telling me, because we go, wow, awesome, God. Awesome. Anybody else? Then we'll pray. Yes.
When Greg had his accident, that was they said he'd never walk without a limp or without a cane, and he walks just fine. He has a labor job, and that accident was actually an answered prayer, and it led to our salvation, and it's been a miracle in our lives more ways than one.
Amen. So. It did lead to y'all's salvation. Isn't that awesome? Okay, y'all are going to, I hope y'all don't get mad if you're real hungry, but there's a rule, it's old Jewish custom. I can't quit preaching until all these candles burn out. You're going, oh, no, that's not true. I'll let you blow them out, okay? I'd just like to pray a blessing over y'all, okay? This means nothing magic, but if you hold your hands out like this, it means I receive. I just want to pray a blessing over us. In the name of Jesus, I bless you with all the promises of God, which are yes and amen. The Holy Spirit make you healthy and strong in body, mind, and spirit to move in faith and expectancy. May God's angels be with you and protect you and keep you. Be blessed with supernatural strength to turn your eyes from foolish, worthless, and evil things.
Instead, may you behold the beauty of things that God has planned for you as you obey His word. God's grace be upon your home, that it may be a sanctuary of rest and renewal, a haven of peace where sounds of joy and laughter grace its walls, where love and unconditional acceptance of one another is consistent. God, give you success and prosperity in your business, in your place of labor, as you acknowledge and obey the imperative of Scripture concerning the tithe. God, give you spiritual strength to overcome the evil one and to avoid temptation. God's grace be upon you to fulfill your dreams and visions. May goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your long life. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace in the mighty, mighty, mighty name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. If you need a miracle, if you need prayer for anything, please, please come up. And as we agree together, it says if two or more of us agree on anything on earth, it's done in heaven. So come up here. You ought to have lots of faith cooking in you after these miracles.